Nothing. Exactly nil. Now, if we want to make something of this, we'll just represent the Christian life by this circle. And the Christian life is a big nothing as long as it exists like that. But the Christian life becomes something that is powerful, dynamic, as soon as we get a hub in the center. And this hub is Jesus Christ Himself. And the Christian is pretty well helpless without the hub, just in any kind of wheel. The wheel receives its power, the rim receives its power from the hub. And the rim does not turn without receiving the power from the hub or from the axle. Come on, a piece of chalk for me. Thank you. This rim represents the life in Christ. And now, let's see that, first of all, the life in Christ is a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's a new life. See, some of these old desires, some of these old ambitions, they pass away and we get new desires and new ambition. And our life becomes entirely new in Christ. The Christian, as we note in John 2, or Colossians 2, 6, is in Christ. And the Christian must dwell in Christ if he's to be dynamic or powerful. And not only that, but the Christian walks as Christ walked. So there's two things here, in Christ and as Christ walked. And now, I think everybody kind of likes to be complete. Like you guys, I know that one of the things that you want to complete is marriage. And I think gals, you feel as though you're complete if you meet a guy and become married to him. Same thing with the Christian. He's not complete unless he becomes married to Christ. And we notice that in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, that in him the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of everything, all power and principality. He's the great ruler. Now let's take a look at the hub again and note certain characteristics of the hub and certain things that we got to do in order to appropriate the power that comes from the hub. John 15:5 says, "I am the branch, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." We got to abide in the hub. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The hub is the source of all strength. Now here's a real diller. Over in Jeremiah 32:27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And you know what most Christians say? They say, "No, Lord, that you've mentioned it. Come to think of it, there are." And we just kind of think that God is maybe able to save us, but he's not able to direct us, to lead us and guide us in our life. He's not able to find a mate for us. He's not able to find an occupation for us. We've got to search that out ourselves. No, God says, "I'm the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for me." Another thing, in order to realize, to recognize the strength of Christ, we must realize our own weakness. Paul said that when I'm weak, then I am strong. And he gloried in his infirmities because then he knew that the power of Christ could rest upon him. And now how many of you today are glorying in your infirmities? pretty glad that you're weak? Does it feel good to not be able to do anything? Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and this hindered him. It bothered him. It was a terrible thing. But he realized, he came to realize, that only as he was weak, that then God could make him strong. Let's go back to the rim and consider one or two things more. And that's that anything that the rim is ever going to do, it's begun and finished by Christ. And unless Christ begins the work, it's going to fail. But he's given a promise that if he begins it, he's going to finish it. Philippians 1:6, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Philippians 1:6 says that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And we'll also note that we got on our diagram Christ right in the middle. And this is what Galatians 2:20 says, that Christ liveth in me. See, Paul says that I am crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which died for me, who died for me and loved me. And we know that in order to have Christ in the center, right in the middle, we have to crucify ourselves. We have to become nothing. Recognize that we are nothing, and that we're only existing by the grace of God. Now, this rim, as far as Christ is concerned, is kind of important. Because this is the way that Christ has contact with the world. Without the rim, Christ no longer contacts the world. Because this is the way he's chosen to do things. 2 Corinthians 5:19, he says that he's committed the word of reconciliation to us. And there's a little illustration that I'd like to share to you about this, that when Christ came back to heaven after dying on the cross, the angel Gabriel met him. And Gabriel said to him, where you been, Lord? And he said, well, I went down to earth and I died for these people on the cross, and I trained these 12 men, and I hope that they will continue the work that I have begun on earth. And the angel Gabriel says, well, what's plan B, Lord? What if these men fail? See, what if they don't spread your word? Jesus says, I'm sorry, Gabriel. There's no plan B. If these men fail, that's it. Christ is depending upon men to spread the word of reconciliation. Now, in order to have this spirit-filled, Christ-centered life, as we've begun the diagram here, we need to contact Christ in a very intimate relationship. And you know that you don't get intimate with any human being by saying hi and bye and hello. And so as you pass through halls or around a place like Glen Eyrie, the only way you get intimate with anybody is to spend time and fellowship together. Meet them daily and really see how they think and how they feel and what their life is like. It's the same thing that the Christian must do. Is he must meet Jesus Christ in an intimate and personal way. And we're going to represent the different ways that a Christian contacts Christ by four spokes. See, the rim contacts the hub by the spokes. And without the spokes, well, the rim collapses. Because, boy, there's just nothing to hold it up. So we'll draw in one spoke down here. And we'll write in the word. In John 5:39, Jesus says that the Scriptures bear witness of Himself. Now, if we're going to contact Jesus Christ, if we're going to know Jesus Christ, we've got to know the Scriptures, or the Word. Knowing the Word means to know Jesus Christ, for the simple reason that the Word bears witness of Christ. Now, the Word not only gets us in better relationship with Jesus Christ, it only not only helps us to know Him better, but it's also our source of food and growth. In 1 Peter 2:2, we read that it's of the milk of the Word that we grow. And babes in Christ need the sincere milk of the Word in order to grow. Now, Walt was all wet about this deal, considering me as not being a farmer. In fact, I spent the first 12 years of my life on a farm. And I know what it's like to milk a cow, and I know what it's like to drink milk. And when I was just a little shaver, my mother would tell me to drink my milk every day. And I kind of took it to heart, and I drank milk, and I drank it by the gallon. But I imagine I drank more milk than anybody here, probably. I'd just like to challenge anyone to milk drinking contest. And the result was, well, you can see kind of what happened. There's a little growth. Hebrews 5:12-14 talks about the Scriptures as supplying us with meat. Now, you know that meat is very necessary for growth and strength. Meat is a tremendous source of protein, builds up our builds up our bodies, builds up our muscles. Any athlete that expects to be strong eats a lot of meat. In fact, some of them eat a steak every day, you know, one of these big, juicy steaks. And I think that meat is very attractive. But meat is something that we got to dig for, something you got to want bad, it's something you got to drool over. And we just don't receive the meat unless we fight for it. In Job 23:12, Job gives a testimony here of how he considered the Word. And I think this is the way we receive the meat. Job said that, "I esteem your Word more than my own breath." You ever been underwater for long? Or has anybody ever pushed you underwater and held you there for a little while? Boy, you esteem that breath kind of highly at that time. And it's the same way we've got to esteem the Word of God. The Word is more than just meat, just more than just food. The Word is a weapon. And it's by using the Word that Jesus defeated the devil. When the devil came to tempt him, Jesus says, "But it is written." And the devil couldn't do anything. He was defeated. He had to try another area. And then Jesus said again, "It is written." And he just trounced the devil by using the Word. And the Word is more than just a defense, just against the devil. It's a weapon. It's something that we can use to go forward with. It's a sword in our hand. Ephesians 6 verse 17 says that the Word is the spirit, is the sword of the Spirit of God. The Word gives enlightenment and direction. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy Word giveth giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple." And if we want to understand some of the principles of God, the Word of God has got to enter into our life. And it's got to enter into our life in a daily, consistent manner. As Jim was speaking about yesterday when he was talking about that quiet time, every morning we got to partake of the Word of God. Got another spoke. We'll write it up on top here. The spoke is prayer. Prayer is our lifeline. It's our communication cable. And through prayer, we can communicate with God. And through prayer, God can speak to us. It's kind of interesting to note that even though God is much better acquainted with our needs than what we are ourselves, He still requires us to ask. In James 4:2, He says, "You have not because ye ask not." And then some of you think that anything that we ask, we can receive. Well, that's true, but there's certain conditions that God lays down in His Word. And James 1:6, He says that the man that doesn't ask in faith, says, don't let him expect anything from God. See? We must ask in faith. We must believe that God is going to answer. And we must ask with pure desires. Psalm 145:18-19 says that if we seek the Lord and draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And He will give us the desires of our heart. Now, a lot of people take that to mean that this car that I've been really wanting, terrible bad, this new hepped-up hot rod that... Boy, I just really want that bad. And clothes and everything else that we really desire for our own lust, our own pride, so that we can be the cool cat. This isn't what God's speaking about. He's speaking about new and pure desires. That's what He's going to give us. And we're filled with new and pure desires. Then, when we ask anything, God will answer. There's three other things that I'd like to mention about prayer, and that's that God desires us to intercede for our fellows, for our buddies. And God says in Isaiah 59:16 that He desperately wants an intercessor. God has promised to provide us with everything that we ask Him in prayer. John 16:24 says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." We'll write in another spoke over here. And this is obedience. Probably can't read that chicken scratch, but it says obedience. Obedience is a key to fellowship with God. As soon as we fail to obey Him, God no longer communicates to us, no longer speaks to us through His Word. And when we try to pray to God, He no longer hears our prayers. He says, "Obey me." He doesn't say sacrifice or anything like that. Some of us think that if we had $1 million, that would be so tremendous, because then we could give half of it to the Lord, or say maybe 9/10 of it and live on the other 100,000. And just think of the big sacrifice that we'd be making for God. You see, God doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience. And by obedience we show our love for God. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And by obedience we prove that we have a love for God. Now, this matter of fellowship, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" See, unless we agree or obey God, we can't walk with Him. Because we just don't get along. It's impossible. We're not agreed. Another thing is when we look at obedience in relationship to the Word, we must approach the Word of God with this in mind, that whatever we find there, we're going to apply to our own life. We're going to make it something that we're going to do. There might be some kind of a sin that exposed, and we're going to obey God, and we're going to forsake that sin immediately. And if we don't, immediately, we fall out of fellowship with God. We got one more spoke over here. Witnessing. A witnessing is the icing on the cake. And the Christian life without witnessing is like a Pepsi without the fizz. You know, kind of the. It's just no spark. It's dull, unexciting, and only by witnessing do we really recognize the importance of the other three spokes. See, because if we're not obedient, we're just disqualified for witnessing. It's only as we obey God that we can witness for Him. Just think of any kind of an athletic team, say a football team, and the coach gives certain commands to the quarterback. And the quarterback doesn't obey these commands. Well, he's going to be sitting on the bench immediately. Coach just won't put up for it. Same thing with Jesus Christ. If we don't obey Him, we're going to be sitting on the bench for Him. And it's only as we get out there in the action that we experience the joy and the bubbling enthusiasm of being a Christian. In Acts 1, verse 8, God tells us that He just expects us to witness. It's just a natural thing for the Christian. It says that, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." See, there's no other alternative. It's just a natural, normal thing to witness for Jesus Christ. And our message is something that we have to work on. We got to be prepared. We got to be prepared in the Word. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it tells us to be ready always with an answer to everyone that asketh a reason for the hope that is in us. Now, this takes diligence and hard study. Now, there's one other way, and this is a very important way to witness. But now, it's not the only. Some tell me that this is the only way to witness, and that's to live a life that is a gospel. But I tell you, you cannot live a life that will be a gospel to others unless you also speak to them with your mouth. I think it's downright conceit to expect that we can show others that much about Jesus Christ just by the way we live and without having to say anything to them. So, live a life that is a gospel and preach the gospel. Two things. As we look at this, we got a normal wheel. And any kind of a normal wheel must be balanced. It's got to be in line. You know what happens with your car if it's not balanced? It just shimmies and shakes and rattles, and the whole car kind of falls apart. The same thing with these. These are all equal. They're all equally important. We must develop each one of them and develop them to the best of our ability. Because as the longer we develop the spokes, the bigger the wheel and the more distance we can cover, the more contact that Christ can have with the world. And this is our responsibility, that we get into the Word, that we pray, that we witness, and that we obey God in every walk of life. And some of you, I feel, have certain things that you know that you ought to apply to your own life. Certain things that are important to you particularly, that God wants you to develop into your life. And I just pray that and plead with you that you will consider this very earnestly. How balanced is your Christian life? Are you going ahead in these basics? If you want to grow, meet the conditions for growth. Some of us want to grow by the pill. It won't work. Just try these.